Actually, this state's pretty doggone purple when it comes down to it. It's
I'm saying the powers that be.
I got to run coming up to the end of the program here. Thank you for your call, and enjoy that ice out there.
Okay, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. And Merry Christmas to everybody. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, a joyous season to you. I'll be back with you live.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush held a press conference at the White House today to update the country on his Iraq policy. He conceded that there have been setbacks and the war was more difficult than he expected. He blamed the insurgents for blocking U.S. efforts to establish security and stability in Iraq. In an interview with the Washington Post yesterday, President Bush said he didn't think the United States was winning nor losing the war in Iraq. The latest CNN poll finds only 28% of Americans support the president's handling of the war. A record number 70% of Americans disapprove of how he has conducted the war. The newly sworn-in Defense Secretary, Robert Gates, is in Iraq today to meet with military commanders and get a first-hand look of the situation on the ground. So far, the Iraq war has cost $350 billion. The Associated Press reports the Pentagon will ask for another $100 billion to fund the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. If approved by Congress and the president, that will increase this year's budget to $170 billion for the two wars. Two more U.S. soldiers were killed today in southern Baghdad by roadside bombs. And in Baghdad today, in separate attacks, at least 12 people were killed by two suicide car bombers. Also around the capital today, 76 bullet-riddled bodies were found. The head of U.S. Central Command, General John Abizaid, has announced his retirement. Early next year, the U.S. commander in Iraq, General George Casey, is also expected to leave his position. Additionally, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Peter Pace, will leave his post next year. In Afghanistan, France pulled out 200 of its special forces. However, it still has 1,100 regular troops in Kabul as part of the NATO force. In Gaza today, Palestinian infighting between members of Hamas and Fatah killed two Palestinian security forces. In the West Bank, Israeli troops killed two Palestinian militants. In Beijing today, the Six Nation talks about North Korea's nuclear program continued. However, the North remains adamant in its demand for international sanctions to be lifted before it takes apart its nuclear program. China will make it harder for foreign couples to adopt Chinese children. The tighter rules will prohibit people who are single, obese, or over the age of 50 from adopting. Most of Colorado has been hit by a major snowstorm, along with parts of Nebraska and Kansas. Airline flights have been canceled at Denver International Airport, and some highways have been closed. There are blizzard warnings, and the area could see between 2 to 3 feet of snow. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to CollaborativeDivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. CollaborativeDivorce.tv.
Members of the Space Shuttle Discovery crew are preparing for their return trip back home. The shuttle's expected to land on Friday, but NASA officials still aren't sure when and where because of the unsettled weather forecast. A private think tank revealed a study that indicates more than 9 out of 10 Americans have had sex before marriage. That includes men and women. Today, President Bush signed a $40 billion bill that extends individual and business tax breaks. The bill also normalizes U.S.-Vietnam trade relations. Swedish Swedish mobile phone company Ericsson will buy Redback Networks for just over $2 billion. Redback makes routers that direct data, voice, and video over broadband networks. Shareholders of the New York Stock Exchange today approved the $14 billion purchase of Euronext, which operates the Paris, Amsterdam, Brussels, and Lisbon stock exchanges. The deal, which will create the first transatlantic stock exchange, still needs regulatory approval. The new chairman and chief executive of Goldman Sachs received the highest bonus ever paid to a Wall Street executive, more than $53 million this year. That's in addition to his $600,000 salary. Light sweet crude is trading at $63.72 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today. And near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is down 3 points at 12,468. The NASDAQ is flat at 2429. The S&P 500 down 1 at 1424. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is that any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366.
Everybody, welcome aboard to another edition of Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Coming to you from Sydney, Australia, it's Tuesday afternoon, possibly where you are. It's Wednesday morning here. Little worse for wear, John Fox, this morning. We had a lecture last night, which is usually kind of a bit of a big night. Had a good time last night. We've got three of those lectures actually in the can at the moment, and hopefully sometime very, very soon we will get those up and on air for you. They've kind of been sitting in the can for a bit, but welcome aboard, folks. got a few things for you today. And as usual, if you want to get in on the program, you can email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com, or dial into the program at 1-877-443-2366. So, where to begin today? I think I'm going to start off with a little bit of possible action regarding Australian so-called terror suspect David Hicks. I'm not sure how well you all know the story of young Mr. Hicks, but he's been in Guantanamo for 5 years. Still not charged with anything. And the Australian government has basically left the guy hanging out in the breeze, as far as I'm concerned, you know. When the military tribunals in the United States were deemed unconstitutional, the Australian Attorney General said, well, I don't see a problem. things could possibly be changing. In the Age this morning, it looks as though Mr. Hicks is turning the heat up on the Prime Minister and the government. They say here, terrorist suspect David Hicks is set to launch a court action in Australia aimed at forcing the Howard government to seek his immediate repatriation from Guantanamo Bay. Lawyers acting for Hicks will lodge documents in federal court today seeking an order requiring the government to protect his rights as an Australian citizen by bringing him home. Attorney General Philip Ruddock, he kind of falls into that same lack of humanity class as Rumsfeld. I think the guy doesn't have a heart or a soul to speak of. But Philip Ruddock and Foreign Affairs Minister Alexander I'm a Downer will be named in court papers to be filed in Sydney by a team headed by constitutional expert Brett Walker. David McLeod, an Adelaide lawyer who represents the accused Taliban fighter, said Hicks has provided instructions to launch court action if the government did not bring him home. David has been in Guantanamo Bay for 5 years without trial, and at this point he is not charged with anything, Mr. McLeod said. He feels the federal government should be brought to account for its failure to protect one of its citizens abroad. The legal move coincides with growing pressure on Prime Minister John Howard to do something about Hicks, with several coalition MPs yesterday calling on him to ask the United States to send him back to Australia. The federal court action will argue the government failed in its duty to protect one of its citizens overseas and breached its protective duty by failing to bring about a fair trial. Now, this is just another symptom of Johnny Howard and company's blind following of George W. Bush and company. I mean, you know, if Australia is the country of a fair go, they sure aren't practicing that when it comes to Mr. Hicks. If he truly is a Taliban fighter, if he truly, you know, is guilty of something, charge him. Have a trial. You know, what purpose does it serve to leave this young man in the lurch? His father has been in the media pretty consistently, and in fact, his U.S., I believe, Marine attorney representing him has been very, very critical of both the Australian government and the United States policy regarding Guantanamo Bay, and has fought very, very hard to try and get this young man a fair go. And like I said, I'm not defending him if he's done something, you know, horrible, but nothing's been proven yet. Nothing's, you know, the guy doesn't even know why he's been locked up in a metal shoebox, metal and concrete shoebox, for the past, you know, 5 years. Further on in this piece, it says the legal move coincides with growing pressure on. The government has repeatedly said Hicks could not be dealt with in Australia because alleged crimes such as training with Al Qaeda were not illegal when Hicks was captured in 2001. Hicks' team will argue that because of this, the Australian government subjected Hicks to unfair trial by the U.S. military commissions. Hicks will also accuse the government of failing to request that the U.S. authorities give him minimum protection under the Geneva Convention, the International Covenant of Civil and Political Rights, and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Hicks, a former rodeo rider and abattoir worker from Adelaide, was captured and handed to the U.S. military in Afghanistan in early December 2001. He was charged in 2004 with aiding the enemy, conspiracy, and attempted murder. The charges were abandoned in June this year after the U.S. Supreme Court found the military commissions were illegal. McLeod said new commissions set up by the U.S. President George Bush were in many respects as flawed as the last and were also likely to be challenged. Hicks U.S. Defense Counsel Major Michael Mann will visit him today to brief him on progress of the legal action. It will be the first time Major Morey has seen Hicks since concerns about his mental and physical condition were raised in October. And I'd actually forgotten about this. The strain of being in detention, cut off from even his attorney, and I think even his civilian attorneys have never been able to go and even speak with him, you know. So I don't know how anyone can claim that this is right in any way, shape, or form. So this will be interesting. And Amnesty International is co-sponsoring Bring David Home rallies around Australia on Saturday, including one at Federation Square in Melbourne. And when I was in the city in Sydney last night, I saw posters for these events all over town. And as usual, I would believe that not only the activist community, but the caring citizens of Australia will get out in the streets and voice their concerns over the fact that this young man is not being treated fairly, and it's time for a trial or repatriation, whatever. Something's got to happen. So I do believe we're going to be coming up on our first break here pretty soon. So when we come back in a bit, we're going to get into a little bit more about the shaping of the new Australian opposition. Woohoo! And we'll have our track of the day, which is a little bit of something from this very band. This going out is the Tea Party, and we're going to have a wonderful acoustic piece called The Badger that is just genius. I'm playing it for no other reason that I think it's beautiful, and I think most of you in America will have never heard it before in your lives. So stick around, ring in, email me, whatever you want to do. This is John Fox with Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio, and we'll see you straight after this break.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? Do you want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Why has this become my theme song with you guys? What is going on? Anyway, welcome to Foxed Up here, folks. Before we get into the track of the day, I'm going to hold off on stuff about the new opposition till after that. An interesting thing over at our good friend Anthony Lowenstein's blog, and you can get there by going to AnthonyLowenstein.com. And I do believe that there's a link to him off of the Horn site, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, this is an interesting little bit of techie news. And I'm wondering if this is a, shall we say, a bit of an hors d'oeuvre in regards to his next book, which I will hopefully be able to tell you a little bit more about in the future as I get some more information. But there's a post on Anthony's blog saying, "Hacktivism rules." And this is really interesting. He says, in an age where web censorship and filtering is worsening around the world, true libertarians are fighting back. And he's quoting an article from, I guess, the software company. Deep in the basement lab at the University of Toronto, a team of political scientists, software engineers, and computer hacking activists, or hacktivists, are creating the latest and some say most advanced tool yet in allowing internet users to circumvent government censorship on the web. The program called Siphon, but spelled P-S-I-P-H-O-N, will be released on December 1st in response to growing internet censorship that is pushing citizens in restrictive countries to pursue more elaborate and sophisticated programs to gain access to Western news sites, blogs, and other censored material. The problem is growing exponentially, said Robert Dibert, director of the University of Toronto Citizen Lab, which designed Siphon. What might have started as censorship of pornography and Western news organizations has expanded to include blogging sites, religious sites, health information sites, and many others. Siphon is downloaded by a person in an uncensored country, turning that person's computer into an access point. Someone in a restricted access country can then log on to that computer through an encrypted connection and, using it as a proxy, gain access to censored sites. The program's designers say that there is no evidence on the user's computer of having viewed censored material once they erase their internet history after each use. The software is part of a broader effort to live up to the initial hopes human rights activists had that the internet would provide unprecedented freedom of expression for those living in restrictive countries. Governments have militarized their censorship efforts to an incredible extent, so we're trying to reverse some of that and restore the promise that they once had for unfettered access and communication, Dr. Dibert said. I like the sound of that. Now, we've got our track of the day coming up. Now, here is a band that most people in the United States have never heard of. And they're from right across your northern border, a band called The Tea Party. And you can check them out at teaparty.com. They're currently disbanded. However, I have a distinct impression from a pretty good source that there will probably be a reforming again. At the moment, the guitarist, Jeff Martin, who can be known to play up to 40 different instruments in one show, was touring here in Australia a few months back with a new solo record. And this band pulls influences from the Delta blues, Eastern music. I mean, there's bouzoukis, there's all kinds of interesting noises and sounds. Jeff was down here touring with the Toronto Tabla Ensemble as his backing band. And from what I hear, it was something to behold. Now, a good friend of mine, actually, Mr. Scott Berry, one of the good friends of the Horn, was out on the road with Mr. Martin during this last tour. And every day at soundcheck, Jeff would turn to Scott Berry and his booming baritone of a voice and say, "Mr. Barry, is there anything you'd like to hear in particular?" And every single day, Scott would turn and say, "Would you please play The Badger?" And this is the track that we are going to play today. Now, this is purely instrumental. This is purely because I love it, and I love this band. And towards the end of the run, I think it was on the last day, Mr. Martin turned to Mr. Barry and asked, "Why do you ask me to play this every day at soundcheck?" And Scott turned to him and said, "Because hearing you play it once a day is just not enough." So here from... this is from the debut record called Edges of Twilight. There's quite a body of work through the 90s and into the early 2000s. Without further ado, acoustic guitar, Mellotron, this is The Badger, The Tea Party. Roll it.
Thank you. There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Glad Wally and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Did you know the University of Nebraska is a leader in the landscape of computer science and business education? Our J.D. Edwards Honors Program combines business strategy with next-generation computer software. That's how you teach leaders for the 21st century. I'd call that thinking outside the box. There is no place like Nebraska. The University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing at irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
Morning in Australia, so it's happy, happy hump day here. I don't know where you are. I hope it's good where you are. yes, Agnes, let's all run to paradise. And that was the Choir Boys bringing us in, a great Aussie band, who are making a return very soon. I bet that's going to just be one of the best things to happen in Australian rock and roll in a while. And I hear that they are actually going to redo that classic song of theirs. That it's one of those songs that you just play it and people just start to feel good. And it's had some interesting experiences with that song in a particular band that I toured with that used to play it as a bit of a fun cover and homage to great Australian rock and roll. And I remember one particular in-house audio guy that was helping us out, guy down in Melbourne, and the band kicked into it in sound check, and the guy just started running around the venue, dancing, going, "I love this song!" And that's one of the beautiful things about music, ain't it? So, things are shaping up for the new opposition to Mr. Johnny Howard and his ilk. And as I was explaining yesterday, we have new leadership in the Australian Labor Party, and Mr. Kevin Rudd and Ms. Julia Gillard are looking to reshape and reclaim the greatness of the Labor Party in Australia. And been some interesting things going on, and by tomorrow, the Labor front bench, which is basically the
you know, the what's going to be the leading group in the party, and those that, aside from representing their, you know, their electorate, their local electorate, will have, you know, specific portfolios, environment, defense, things like that, where they, when you're in opposition, shadow along the government members who actually have these portfolios and keep themselves, you know, in check. So what seems to be the overriding factor in who's going to be in the front bench is a whole bunch of new talent. One of the things that the Howard government has constantly done in Parliament is to always be able to say, but the Labour Party, when they were in government, had record interest rates and this and that, and all talking about the past. With Kim Beazley, you know, being knocked out as Labour, and once he retires at the next election, there will be no one remaining from that previous Labour government in Parliament. So all that childish school playground neener garbage that these unbelievably immature adults get up to in government whenever cornered or asked a real question, we'll just go back to, well, remember under the last Labour government. And it just, it's going to be interesting. Well, it's definitely looking as though one of the new faces we're going to see is going to be Mr. Peter Garrett, former lead singer of Midnight Oil, now politician, will be the Shadow Environment Minister. And this is going to be good. It's just, and another interesting thing, that was pointed out to me yesterday, that could prove to be very, very interesting when Peter Garrett becomes part of the front bench, which means he'll have a lot more, floor time, in Parliament and be much more up front. We're wondering if a particular issue is going to come up. When Johnny Howard ran was running as leader with the Liberals the first time that they won into government, he claimed that it was going to be his government that was going to deal with reconciliation with the Aboriginal population of Australia and deal with the stolen generation. For those of you who don't know about that, during the era of the White Australia policy, young Aboriginal children were removed from their families, put into white schools, and basically forced to, not allowed to marry within their own communities, with the belief that after, oh, you know, 3-4 generations, the blood would be so diluted they were no longer Aboriginal. Well, Johnny Howard claimed that it was going to be his government, and all we've ever heard is from him since is, I refuse to say sorry on behalf of the government. Now, if you've ever listened to lyrics from Midnight Oil like Beds Are Burning and some other things, that's all dealing with the whole idea of reconciliation with the Aboriginal people. You reckon that Mr. Garrett will have something to say? I think so. And and one of our news ninjas is in the production chat at the moment, and she says, gee, that sounds like what the U.S. did with the Native American Indians. Yeah, pretty much, but this went even further. It was actual government-signed policy that we were to have a white Australia, and the white Australia policy was only abolished in the late 70s. And Johnny Howard, before he went running in federal politics, used to speak about wanting to return to the white Australia policy. Boy, sound a little disingenuous to say, my government will
deal with reconciliation. Does deal mean just forget about it? It's looking that way. So this is going to prove to be very interesting. And from what I understand yesterday, Kevin Rudd came out just loaded for bear. Absolutely loaded for bear during question and answer time. I'm just going to call up another link here. Where is it? He just came out firing about the abuses of the Australian Wheat Board, about the failings in Iraq. But most importantly, I've spoken about the industrial relations reforms that happened here, with the Orwellian name of work choices. In other words, you can choose to work for less, choose to work. These laws have actually been designed to the point where you can be forced to work overtime and not be paid for it. This is what these laws allow them to do. And Mr. Rudd is aiming to link the attack on work choices with concerns for families, a theme he took up in caucus and in Parliament yesterday. Again, dominating question time, Mr. Rudd asked Prime Minister John Howard how he reconciled his assertion that the Liberal Party is the party of family values with the fact, under the government's industrial relations legislation, Australian mums and dads can now be required to work more than the standard 38-hour week and not be paid overtime. In his first speech to Parliament after toppling Kim Beazley, Mr. Rudd vowed to rehabilitate the word compassion in the national vocabulary and claimed he had already unnerved Mr. Howard. He said the Prime Minister was clearly uncomfortable with his questions on the impact of the government's workplace changes. Mr. Rudd is expected to make finance spokesman Lindsay Tanner shadow treasurer or retain... That's all getting into stuff you don't need to know. This is all part of the shaping of the cabinet. Further on, you talk to the business community, they pull their hair out about the way in which the Commonwealth and the states fail to properly work together when it comes to the regulatory environment for getting businesses and development projects going. He also indicated he would try to mobilize support for small business. I am constantly impressed by the entrepreneurialism of our small business sector and of our independent contractors who are out there doing interesting, innovative, and creative things, he said. I believe our task in government is to make that easier for them. Telling you, I'm liking this guy. I'm really, really, really liking this guy. I really am planning on checking out the video of Question Time from yesterday. I think it should be on this afternoon. Friends have been telling me that yesterday Kevin was stellar. This could really, really, I don't know, I'm excited about Australian politics and what could happen for the first time in many, many, many a year. So it's just good stuff. I just can't even tell you how much fun this is going to be. I was even reading in the Sydney Morning Herald yesterday. There's a great piece from one of their cartoonists working up his characterizations of the new leadership team and stating how, regardless of how they are in government, they're both interesting people to do caricature of. And there's just kind of a neat little piece and showed the development of how with a new leadership, your political cartoonists suddenly have to develop some new things. Sorry, Susan, I'm not a citizen. I'd like to be, but that's a whole nother story. Anyway, we're coming up on the final break here for today's edition of Foxed Up. If you've got a couple minutes to get in on the program, if you would like to dial in at 1-877-443-2366. You can email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. And, you know, we'll be back to wrap this thing up. I've got a couple of things. And that localcooling.com site that I told you all about yesterday is back up. I don't know what happened, but please go check it out. And if you want to optimize your computer to be more green, more friendly, and actually be able to see how many trees you are saving, your reduction in gallons of oil burned to run just your local PC, go to localcooling.com and download this little application. I've been really enjoying watching the steps bounce up and down. So we're going to be back after this last break and wrap things up before Mr. Kincaid takes over the reins of the network. We'll see you right after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
That's actually a bit of a homage to Mr. Kurt Cobain. He had a lot to say. He had a lot of nothing to say. We'll miss him, but he sure could yell. Great track. Anyway, Radio Free USA, I'm digging that, Susan. There's some discussion going on in the production chat that maybe we should all just move this entire operation offshore and broadcast it back into the United States. Kind of an interesting concept there. Hey, I'm already doing it. Okay, my final thing today. Just to show you that unbridled corruption is not just for the American playground. Okay. Also from The Age today. One of the former heads of the Australian Wheat Board was given a tax break on $1 million in salary. Now, this is one of the guys that helped funnel $300 million Australian dollars directly in Saddam Hussein's coffers as we were gearing up and before going to war by abusing the United Nations Oil for Food program. So, here it says, disgraced AWB figure Trevor Flugie, sounds like Loogie, escapes paying tax on almost $1 million in salary and allowances paid to him by the Australian Government Aid Agency for his work in Iraq after the Howard government shepherded a new tax law through Parliament late last year. The law exempting Mr. Flugie and scores of other Australia aid workers in Iraq from Australian income tax was cleared through Parliament with bipartisan support just weeks after the Prime Minister announced the coal inquiry into the AWB scandal last December. As a result, Mr. Flugie earned $978,776 tax-free dollars from from Oz Aid after being hired by the Howard government to work for Iraq's occupation government in April 2003. The former AW marketing chief, Michael Long, was also employed by Oz Aid in Iraq. Both Mr. Flugie and Mr. Long were severely criticized in the Cole Report for being deeply involved in AWB's payment of almost $300 million in kickbacks to Saddam's regime. At the time of their appointments, Mr. Flugie and other aid workers were advised that they would be exempt from Australian tax because Iraq had an income tax system. Under Australian tax law, workers who take up contracts overseas cannot be taxed twice. Sounds fair enough. But late in 2003, the U.S.-led occupation government, the Coalition Provisional Authority, announced it was retrospectively suspending personal income tax in Iraq for everyone, including foreign workers employed between January 2003 and April 2004. This included Mr. Flugie and Mr. Long. As a result, in 2004, Mr. Flugie and other aid workers were told by the Australian Tax Minister, they would be required to pay Australian taxes on their salaries. But in January last year, the Howard government introduced special legislation into Parliament. The then Assistant Treasurer Malbro announced that the Howard government would restore a tax exemption for certain Australians employed in Iraq. The spokesperson and assistant treasurer Peter Dutton could not say whether any individual had lobbied for the new law, but said it was recommended by the Treasury Department. However, according to the tax office, the exemption in the past was subject to certain conditions, the main one being tax must be imposed on the employment income in the foreign country. Does it sound like the Howard government's protecting their buddies? And this is aid money. How many ways is this wrong, people? I so want this government to hang. Not literally, but legally, for this. I mean, this whole AWB thing is, I think, having the same effect as some of the lack of accountability issues that the Bush regime and the Republicans have had in the United States. This one is going to be. This is just going to continue to unfold, and our new opposition leader, Mr. Rudd, has been all over the AWB thing from the beginning. So.
I suspect that there will be more on what went down, and hopefully more about the government's knowledge of what went on. I think that accountability is gonna come down. Now I'm gonna go back. This was kind of interesting. This is going back to last week's news, maybe about 10 days ago. But here, just choke on this. Also from The Age, a year before the invasion of Iraq, Australia's then ambassador to the UN, John Dawth, told AWB's former chairman, Trevor Flugey, Mr. Loogie, that the Howard government would join military action by the U.S. to overthrow Saddam Hussein, new AWB documents reveal. Details of the conversation contradict statements by Prime Minister John Howard that Australia had not agreed to join the war in Iraq before the UN debate in late 2002 and early 2003. The conversation between Mr. Dawth and Mr. Flugey took place in early 2002, 13 months before the war began. The details are contained in confidential AWB board minutes released by the Cole Inquiry on the 22nd of November. The minutes record Mr. Flugey telling the board on 27, 2002 that Mr. Dawth confided in him that he believed the U.S. military action to depose Saddam was inevitable and at this time the Australian government would support and participate in such action. Liars, 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 Mr. Howard, because he was just in TV going, we have made no decision, we have made no decision, we have made no decision. And then right when the timing was kind of where there was too late to have debate, Australia said, oh, we're going. Why not? What the heck? Anyway, we're coming up on the end of things here today. Thanks for spending this hour with me again today. This is just so much fun, and I actually had my head a lot more together this morning than I was expecting after having had a bit of a late one. So, as usual, the program was wonderfully engineered by Agnes Kincaid, with a bit of it pulled off in the beginning by Mr. Bob Kincaid, who also announces the program. The streaming and the archives are at whiterosesociety.org. Ben never sends a bill, so you got to go there and do the right thing. Thank you to our mods and our bloggers. You news ninjas rock my world. Thank you, Mr. Scott Berry, for the music and the bit of storytelling ammunition that I had for today, for the track of the day. And thank you, his outfit, D1 Louder Productions, here in Sydney, Australia. And, of course, everything on the horn happens because of the Mid-Atlantic Council of Carpenters. They are building the American dream each and every day and helping us create this behemoth that the Head On Radio Network will become one day. hopefully I have some more green stories for you tomorrow. Oh, and hopefully we might even have the list of who the front bench is and some interesting face-offs for the future of Australian politics, which could shape the new government, which could really be a problem for George Bushy in his last year in orifice, shall we say. So, everybody, thank you so much for being with me today. Stick around. Bob Kincaid coming up. And not long after that, it will be Mr. Bruce Birch, my buddy. Prayer meeting's tomorrow. See, I get confused, this whole split day thing. But anyway, take care of yourselves. Be good. Be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
Taking the third time. baby star be yellow. The baby star be yellow, never stop. You make a dead man come. 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 You make a dead man come.
Should be free to enter into any kind of relationship they want to enter into.
People should be free to enter into the relationships that they choose.
I think different states are likely to come to different conclusions, and that's appropriate.
When it comes to conferring legal status on relationships, that is a matter left to the states.
I don't think there should necessarily be a federal policy in this area.
This message brought to you by Lynn and Dick Cheney.
Quality News Network. In his traditional end-of-the-year news conference today, President Bush said he still believes we will win the war in Iraq, although he backed off statements he made earlier suggesting sending thousands of additional troops there, a move the Pentagon opposes. The president says he wants to increase the size of the Army and Marine Corps overall. The latest CNN poll finds only 28% of Americans support President Bush's handling of the Iraq war. A record number of Americans, 70%, disapprove of how the president has handled the war. 2 days after being sworn in as U.S. Defense Secretary, Robert Gates is in Baghdad. He is taking an on-the-ground tour of the war zone and discussing strategy with top U.S. and Iraqi commanders. 15 people were killed and 41 were wounded from explosions in that city today. Also in Baghdad today, police found 76 bullet-riddled bodies around the capital. One of them has been identified as an Iraqi army officer. The presence of slain people dumped around the capital has been a daily spectacle in Baghdad over the past several weeks. The U.S. commander in the Middle East has resigned. Stepping down will allow the new defense secretary to appoint his own commander in the region. At the UN, Secretary General Kofi Annan warned against military intervention in Iran. Annan says nations should use diplomacy to convince Tehran to discontinue its uranium enrichment. He says using military might would be, quote, unwise and disastrous, end quote. Also at the UN, the Security Council has approved protocols for individuals and groups to appeal being placed on a list accusing them of having ties to Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. Currently, there is no procedure to correct mistakes or remove names from the sanctions list. In Gaza, a ceasefire put into effect continues to hold. Gun battles between rival Palestinian parties yesterday killed 14 and wounded dozens, including school children caught in the crossfire. Freezing rain on Mount Hood, Oregon, hampered early search efforts for the two missing clients. The search resumed once the storm passed, with rescuers trying to find discoloration in the snow identified yesterday by friends of the missing climbers. Most of Colorado has been